death nor life. I want to read a scripture to you from Romans chapter 8, just a couple of verses. That says, and I am convinced, everyone say, I am convinced. I want you, church, to be convinced this morning that nothing can ever separate you from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell, can ever separate you, church, from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a sermon right there. Amen? Amen. Father, take these words that I'm about to share this morning, and I pray, Lord, that we would have listening ears and receptive minds and hearts, Lord, that want to receive everything that you have for us, that we might be effective, Lord, in the work of your kingdom, wherever life takes us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When life gets hard, dealing with the death of a loved one, by the way, Pastor Mike, looking at the weather forecast, decided it was a good week to go to Florida to visit his son and grandchildren. And I'm not sure when he's coming back. No, he's coming back this week. But I thank him for giving me this easy topic to talk about. I wanted to preach on Samson. I really did. I got a great sermon on Samson. But he said, no, you're going to preach on dealing with the death of a loved one. An easy topic? No. A necessary topic? Yes. Why? Because, and there's some things in the bulletin there for you to fill in just so you can follow along. Because the death of someone we love is inevitable and very difficult. My dad, who lived to 95, and on his 95th birthday, I asked him, Dad, what's it like to turn 95? He said two things, son. He said, number one, it went very fast. Number two, he said, when you live to 95, you say a lot of goodbyes. I want to assure you this morning, church, that God provides us the strength and the comfort that we need to help us in these times. There's a scripture in Acts 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, about that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some of the believers in the church. And he had the apostle James, who was John's brother, killed with a sword. All losses are bad. But research indicates that the worst losses that people face in life are the death of a child, the loss as a result of a suicide, loss as a result of a homicide. And I have officiated at memorial services, funeral services for all three of those and more. You know what? Our present culture doesn't deal well with death. Live well, live large, live healthy, live strong. Stay young, get surgeries if you have to. Age gracefully? Absolutely not. The word died isn't even used much anymore. People don't like that word. Other words that are less straightforward, like passed away or things like that. But it says in Hebrews 9:27, every person is destined to die. That may be the last amen I get. That's all. So how should we view the death of a loved one? Listen, in your bulletin, love impacts us. The loss impacts us. Physically, yes. Psychologically, yes. Spiritually, yes. And the Bible provides us with many examples of the ways that we can be impacted. Especially the life of Job. And we're often better able to identify what are the healthy and unhealthy reactions that one might have to the loss of a loved one. And we need to learn healthy ways to deal with these kind of losses. In your bulletin, I want to encourage you to be patient with yourself and with others as you process a very difficult loss. No matter how spiritual a person may be, listen to me, no matter how spiritual you may be, and how strong you think you are, no one can healthily hurry through the phases of dealing with a loss. James describes the process in James 5:7. He says, dear brothers and sisters, be patient. as you wait for the Lord's return. And he says, consider the farmers who patiently wait for rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Never, in the middle of everything, never forget that truth. The Bible says the Lord, his coming is near, his presence is near right now. He is always near. The Bible is clear in Psalm, near to the brokenhearted. Even when you don't feel like he is. And just as farmers can't hurry the process of growing their crop, people cannot speed up the process of grief. They must be patient. And as they endure these kinds of things, it's important not to turn on each other. Listen, in the wake of the death of a child, or death as a result of a suicide, family members, society tells us often turn on each other. And the divorce rate is very high in these kinds of circumstances. Sometimes those who suffer very, very difficult losses don't know what to do or even how to pray. But I can assure you this morning, God will never abandon you. The scripture is clear. And even though we can't hurry through the phases of loss, there are some actions that we can take and engage in that will help us cope. For example, a farmer who fertilizes and irrigates and works on weed control will have a healthier crop when the time comes. So those who experience loss can engage in activities that will reduce the likelihood that they will be stuck in the grieving process like Jacob was after the loss of Joseph, if you remember the story. Let me share a few things that others have shared with me, in my opinion, okay, and experience, not to say to people right after the loss of someone they dearly love. Many of you could add your own to this list also. These are just a few. Here's one of them. God will never give you more than you can handle. I mean, what does that even mean? When you're going through something you know you can't handle, that's probably something that really doesn't do any good. Here's a tricky one. Unless you do, don't say, I understand. Unless you understand. We can say, I can really appreciate, and I feel bad, and I sympathize with your loss. Sometimes you can understand. And if you do, you can say that. I have officiated at probably 5 or 6 funerals of people who have taken their own life. And I never would say to the parents or family that I understand what they're going through, or their siblings are going through, or their relatives are going through. But I can do what the Bible says. I can mourn with those who mourn. And I can cry with those who cry. And I can reach out to them with love. And so can we all. Amen? We can. We can appreciate what they're going through. I did a funeral of a child some years ago who lived, I think, just one day. And then died. But it was a shock. And I did the service for the grieving couple. And a few days later, they said, and they were thanking me for the service, and said, because they knew, because Gene and I had shared from time to time, that we had a stillborn child at one time in our life, and I shared that with this congregation. And the mother said, listen, don't get me wrong when I say this, I'm not glad that that happened to you, but I'm glad that you kind of understand and know what it means to lose a young child. And we can say in that situation, I understand. Listen, don't be too quick to quote scripture either. Okay? Like, well, you know, all things work together for good. Well, I'm not feeling that right now. I'm feeling nothing but bad right now. And we may mean well when we say that, but in the heat of grief, that scripture is not going to have a lot of meaning for us. When my dad died at 95, here's one that hurt. That's fine. I want you to understand why I'm just trying to give you some helpful hints here. Some people said, well, you were so lucky to have your dad for all those years. I said, well, that's true, but I had him for all those years. And because I hadn't for all those years, I missed them an awful lot. You know what I mean? You miss people. No matter how long you have them or how short, you miss them a lot. Here's one. Heaven must have needed another angel. So they took my angel. God took my angel because he needed another angel. And I know that people say that with not bad intentions, but it's not a helpful one. Well, they're in a better place. Well, I'm not in a better place. I'm in a bad place. I get it here, not here. Well, if you can see them now, well, I can't see them now. They're gone. I'm here. Here's another one. Understand what I'm saying here. He'll say, call me if you need anything. They can pretty much guarantee you they're not going to call you. But you can call them. You call them. You stop over. You make the point. Sometimes in our own process of not feeling very uncomfortable dealing with their loss, we just kind of stay away. Don't do that. Don't do that. Call them. Pick them something up. Pick them up. Do something. Cards are good. Let me give you a little hint. Yeah, Jeannie does this. We send cards. We'll send cards later, too. A month later, 2 months later, 4 months later. When all the cards and all the calls and all the stuff and people are gone, I've had people say to me so often, oh, getting that card a couple months later was so helpful. So wonderful. Just a little bit. We can say, I am so, so sorry for your loss. And I'm praying for you. And you know what? Pray for them. Don't just say that, pray for them. On a regular basis, because you're going to need it. And be present. Don't intrude on people's lives, but be there. Be present. It says in the book of Romans, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. And John 11, that's a great story. It tells us the story of Lazarus' death and resurrection. And notice that in that story, you remember that, it's a very popular one. Jesus didn't criticize the family or the friends of Lazarus for weeping. In fact, he wept with them. The Bible teaches us to sympathize and empathize with others who are grieving. And after someone's death, it's important for loved ones and friends to spend time together. Reminisce. Talk about good memories that bring a good reflection and tears and laughter. When someone wants to talk about a deceased loved one, be a good listener. Gene and I have a friend that lives in Springfield, Missouri, whose father died in a boating accident many, many years ago. He was fishing and, you know, he had a heart attack or whatever. And it was at least now 25 or 30 years. And when we get together, sometimes on this intention, we will intentionally say, hey, how long has your dad been gone? Well, X amount of years. Do you still think about him? Do you still miss him? Yeah, I do. We're very close. And then they might share a story. So you guys are the only ones that ever asked me about my dad. And I miss him, and I'd like to talk about him. So it's okay to bring those things up. Very tough story. I remember I got called several years ago. I was just new in the ministry. I didn't know a lot of stuff. Pastor Jim was out of town. I got called that a young man had attempted to take his own life and was in intensive care unit. And when I come, I said, sure. So I did. It was a relative that came to church. And when I got into the intensive care unit or wherever he was, family was there, and the boy, teenage boy, had just died, just like a minute before I got there. And I've never been in such an intense scene of anguish and pain and weeping and sorrow. It was tough. And there was a minister there who, when he saw me, asked who I was, came over, there was families around, and he said, well, I'm glad you're here, I have to leave. He couldn't. And that's fine. I said, God, what do I do? I don't know what to do. So I just went over. The mother was sitting in a chair in the middle of that room, and I just went over and got on my knees and said, I am stayed there for a minute or so, and the emotion died down a little bit. I said to the mother, "Would you like me to pray?" She said, "I would love that." And so I prayed, and God's Spirit, I believe, came into that room. Some peace came in there. I was able to officiate in the Catholic Church, probably as part of that funeral, when hundreds of teenagers came in and to give the gospel. I'm so sorry. Sometimes that's all we need to say without a whole lot of things. Be present, be there. Death isn't easy, certainly for the ones left behind. In your bulletin, the pain of loss is real. The lesson, so is hope. Everyone say hope. Let's get on to the hope part. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. This is one exciting portion of Scripture. We will tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And first the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There we will be with the Lord forever. Thank God, and ever and ever and ever. Encourage each other with these words. Christians are not to be uninformed about what happens to believers when they die. Paul indicates that focusing on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a good way to help deal with that. When someone who knows the Lord dies, we can focus and meditate on that truth. And when we have a loved one that dies, that we're not sure if they were a believer, we're unsure of their eternal state, we can still focus on Christ. We can still focus on heaven. One day he's going to come for us. And whatever ache is contained in your heart, my friend, will be healed. We will truly be okay when we are with him. Listen, we always want to leave people with hope. Understand what I'm saying? We want to leave people with hope. Everyone say hope. Don't be the judge. We are not the judge. When we don't know the spiritual state of someone who has died, a loved one or somebody else, listen, the thief on the cross, in his recognition of his lostness, said to Jesus, "Remember me." Jesus didn't look at the words. He didn't process, you know, there was no sinner's prayer. There was no water baptism. There was no kneeling at the altar. Remember me. Jesus saw his heart. Jesus always sees the heart. And we don't know the process of death from the last breath to when they're gone. They could just say, "Save me, Jesus," and he'll save them. That's the kind of God that we serve. I choose to have hope, I choose to trust, and I choose to believe. God's word will never return empty. It will always accomplish that which he has intended for it to accomplish. Aren't you glad of that this morning? Don't be afraid to get help. We have a ministry called Grief Share. Mark and Jean, would you just stand so we see who you are? This lovely couple, Mark and Jean Jarosinski, are the directors of the ministry. Thank you, Mark and Jean. You can stop. Call a grief share. If you have some questions about it, talk to them. This is a group that meets all the way through. You can jump in at any time. They help people. They have experienced all kinds of... I guarantee you they can relate to anything that you're going through, and they will help you in that ministry called Grief Share. Talk to them after if you have any questions. Don't be afraid to get counseling. Your pastors can help you. Don't be afraid to come in and talk about it with one of the pastors if you just can't seem to get a handle on the loss. You can also refer you to professional counseling. We know some really good counselors, professional counselors. We can refer you to them. I'll tell you the story. I'll tell you my story. My mom passed away. And I was a mama's boy. My sister says I'm still a mama's boy. Sometimes Jean might think that too. Yes, I am a little. That's all right. It's all right. But anyway, about, I don't know, 8 months, 6, 8, a year, I can't remember the time. But she said to me one day, "What is going on with you? What are you talking about? So you're so short. You seem to be so touchy, so angry." I was like, "A lot of guys have this." She said, "I think it has anything to do with your mom dying and leaving." I said, "Well, maybe. Maybe you should talk to someone about it." And a group of pastors, and Tracy remembers this, we had spent a couple of weeks talking to a woman counselor who specialized in grief counseling. That was about a year previous. So I called her and I said, "Here's the situation." Her name was Lucy. I said, here's what my wife said. She said, "Well, I don't know, talk about it." So I did. And then I went back again, and another time. But the fourth time, I mean, it was so helpful to process some things. She did not let me hide behind a certain scripture or whatever. She got to the issues. And after the fourth time, I said to her, "Lucy, thank you so much. It has been so helpful to do this with you." She said, "Okay. And what?" So I "And what?" She said, "What are you telling me?" "I don't know." "That we're through?" She said, "That's what I thought you were going to say." I said, "Then we're not?" She said, "Oh, a couple more things. A couple things I want to leave you with that will help you, not only your situation, but help you to help other people." It was a great help. Don't be afraid to get help. I don't care what the circumstance or situation is. There is nothing wrong with getting good professional help. When your knee hurts or your body hurts, you go to a doctor. Listen, sometimes we just can't process things. We need help. Okay? Word to the wise. Remember 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give the same comfort that God has given us. Our trial will benefit us if we learn compassion for others, and the comfort we receive, we can give. Listen, the kids back in Kidstown today are going through this very same topic. That's what we're doing now. We're doing the same topic. Talk to the kids. Listen. Don't overlook the needs of children or hide death from them. After a death, they don't often know what to think or say or what questions to ask or how to express their emotions. They need understanding and comfort and reassurance, and they need to be filled with love and security and hope. They need to be with family, sharing in the discussions, sharing in the grieving, sharing in the healing. It says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to laugh, and a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to cry, a time to rejoice. We need the times to weep and to mourn. And sometimes spiritual growth can take place strongly in those times. It's a time we can reflect on our own mortality, our own relationship with God. Somebody said this, and I read this, and I thought, it was an interesting statement. It said, an open casket can be worth 1,000 sermons. Some people avoid funerals, they avoid visiting people in hospitals, nursing homes, in this kind of situation because they feel uncomfortable. And it makes them feel unhappy. Listen, God wants you to be His hand extended. He wants you to be a source of healing to people when they are hurting. And if you will do that, if you will make a commitment to reach out to people in these circumstances, God will help you mature and grow as well. There is a scripture in your bulletin. To take it out, would you? Well, I don't know sometimes how to help someone after the death, sudden death, or whatever the circumstances may be. I like to focus on Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth may give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Lowest waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice to the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. Desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the shields with fire. He says, be still. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Specific instructions to keep us grounded. We need to be patient. We need to look to the Word. We need to be counseled. And it will keep us from making bad decisions that can be problematic later. And often after the tragic event, people make quick decisions about things they later regret. This provides us practical instruction. We can find comfort, we can find hope in the presence of the Lord's return. Here is how, Pastor James, would you come? Here's how I end. I give a secret right now. Hold me to it. Here's how I end every funeral that I've ever presided over. When I get to the end of my message, here's what I say. If I know the person, if I don't know the person. If I know their spiritual state, if I don't know their spiritual state. Here's what I say. If he or she could come back right now, at this moment, and talk to you, I believe with all my heart, this is what I believe they would say. Give your heart to Jesus. Ask him to forgive your sins. Ask him to come into your life. Forgive the people that have hurt you. And draw close to those that you care about. Now, it doesn't make any difference where they are. I know they would say that if they could talk to you and me. Give your life to God while you have time. Do we have guarantees of anything? My heart breaks when I hear the news. Three Girl Scouts and a leader killed like that. By driving under the influence. Jewish people killed in their synagogue while they're worshiping God. No guarantees yet right now. I'm going to ask you to bow your head for a moment. See, I always choose the pathway of hope. And I hope you do too. Maybe you're here and you've lost someone that you love. Maybe it was recently, maybe it was years ago. 5, 10, 50, 20, doesn't make any difference. And there's still a hole, there's still a pain. And God wants to fill you with his presence. And there will be those times, but don't let the reality of a loss overpower the reality of God's presence. That is a more powerful reality, believe me. I'm going to pray for this church in a few moments. For God to just do a healing work and a comforting work this morning. But maybe you're here and you've never said, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. I assure that everyone I know that's in heaven today will come back and say, do it before it's too late. Give your life to Jesus. Turn your life over to him. If you've never done that, before I close the service, I'd love to say a prayer for you and with you, with this congregation. If you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart and life, receive the great gift of salvation. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands. If that raised hand, say, Pastor Jerry, pray for me. Right here in the front. Yeah, someone else. that's in the back. God bless you. You can put it down. Thank you. I want to wait 20 more seconds. That's all. I'm going to go on. Yes. God bless you. See that hand. 15 more seconds. Please respond. If God, it's not for me. This is for you, between you and God. I just want to be able to pray with you. 10 more seconds. Anyone else? Yes. I see that hand. Someone else? 5 more seconds. 4, 3, 2, and 1. If you're able to, would you stand this morning? We serve a great God. And He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and be part of the kingdom of God. And nothing, nothing gives God, I believe in the angels in heaven, more joy than when a person comes from not being a part of the family of God to join in the family of God. Let's pray this prayer with these who raise their hands. Let's all pray the prayer together to be an encouragement to them. Father God, I come before you this morning in the name of Jesus, your only Son. I ask you this morning, dear Jesus in heaven, to forgive my sins, to take my life, to bring me from death to life, to save my soul, and give me the gift of eternal life. I receive that gift, and I give you thanks for saving my soul and for the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen, church.